Proverbs chapter 2, beginning at verse 7, this is God's holy word. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, you remember from last time, beloved, as we've looked at the first part of chapter 2, that the wise father, King Solomon, was persuading his son in the paths of wisdom. He was encouraging him to seek wisdom as for hidden treasure, to seek it from the Lord, who is the one who was the only one who was able to give wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He wanted his son to cry out and to call aloud for wisdom. And he's continuing now to persuade his son to embrace the wisdom of God as it's revealed in the Word of God. We need to be persuaded in the things of God. It shows us often our stubbornness, the slowness of our hearts to believe. You know, the Apostle Paul, we read in the New Testament, persuaded, sought to persuade men day after day and night after night and year after year with tears. To embrace the truth of God in Christ. It would be great if we all just accepted every truth we heard from the Word of God immediately, implicitly. That's what it deserves. But so often men need to be persuaded. We know that's true of us in our hearts. We've heard the same truth sometimes time and time again. God needs to keep persuading us of its truth. And you know, as parents, with our children, we need to keep persuading. And this is what we see Solomon doing here. He's giving reason after reason after reason for this child of his. He's begging and imploring and giving reasons for his son to accept the wisdom that is being offered to him in the covenant of grace. And so it's a call here as we go on in the chapter 2, and we see that that's exactly what the father is doing. It's a call to perseverance and patience for us with our children. with our loved ones, those around us, our neighbors, our friends. That it's not often at the first hearing of truth that people embrace that truth and live it out. And so be patient. Keep persuading. Keep praying for those whom we love as they hear the word of God. And here we see particularly in verses 7 through 22 that the Father presents to the Son blessing after blessing after blessing that God's wisdom will bring to those who believe it and embrace it. Because God's way is the way of blessing. In Deuteronomy 12:28, Moses said to the people, "Be careful to obey all these regulations I'm giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God." When we hear God's wisdom and when we listen to it and obey it, it will go well with you. God has plans to bless his people, and his wisdom will bless his people. And boys and girls and young people, the reason your parents want you to listen to the wisdom of the Word of God is that God would be glorified, first of all, but also because it will be the best for you. They want things to go well for you. And that's why they're praying for you and teaching you the wisdom of the Word of God. If we are careful to live according to the wisdom of God, it will go well with us. Now, we know, of course, that we are not saved by our own works. Christ is the great law keeper for us. But in Christ, as we listen to God's will for us, which includes belief in Christ. What are the works that God requires? The crowd asked Jesus in John 6. Believe in the one he sent. But then it also includes listening to and living according to all the law and wisdom of God. Out of gratitude for having been saved. Living God's way that will bring blessing. We need to believe that. As we begin tonight looking at these verses which speak of the blessings of wisdom, we need to be convinced in our hearts that the wisdom of God is the way to blessing. And that to go against the wisdom of God's word will bring harm and destruction in all sorts of ways. Are you convinced of that? Or do you think, well, maybe for me in my life it'll be different? Maybe I can get away with not living according to God's ways and his wisdom. And I can somehow evade the hurt and the harm and the destruction. Is that what you're believing? If you are, that's a lie. And it's exactly what Satan wants you to believe. Thomas Brooks, in his so helpful book, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, we are not unaware of his schemes. Well, are we? Are we unaware? And Thomas Brooks says one of Satan's devices is he presents the bait but hides the hook. Just like, boys and girls, if you've ever gone fishing, you put a nice juicy worm and you wrap it around that hook so that all the fish can see is the worm. He doesn't see the hook. And when he bites that bait, it's too late. That's what Satan does. He presents a way that to you looks so attractive, and the temptation is, this must be a way of blessing. This will be good for me. But if it's not the way of God, and if it's not the wisdom of God, it will never be good for you. Only the way of God and the way of wisdom is the way of blessing. Every other way that seems good has a devilish hook hidden in it. And you'll feel it sooner or later. Sin is always deceptive. But in this part of Proverbs 2, this loving father in concern for the welfare of his son shows the blessings of wisdom in order to encourage his son to follow the Lord. And I think we see four kinds of blessing here in these verses. We see the blessings from God toward us. We see blessings that reside within us. Thirdly, we see blessings that will be at work around us in our relationships and in the world in which we live. And lastly, blessings that will be in store for us in the future. A wonderful catalog of the blessings of wisdom. Well, first, look at verses 7 through 8. Here we see the blessings of God toward us. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. These are things that God does to those who, according to verses 1 through 6, have turned their ear to wisdom and are applying their heart to understanding. He gives victory, the New International Version says. Literally, he stores up sound wisdom for us. Wisdom that leads to abiding success. And that's why the NIV takes a few steps and translates it as victory. But it's the victory and it's the success that come from the wisdom that God stores up for his people and pours out on them. And of course, this is ultimately spiritual success. You know, when we would speak to the world and say, well, follow God and you'll be successful. Our minds can be so geared to the thinking of this world that this idea of success brings all sorts of things to our minds. Oh, success, that sounds good. I'll get the promotion. I'll get the nicer car. I'll get the better job. I'll get the bigger bank account. All those things. But this, of course, is success in a biblical, spiritual way, which may include those physical blessings, but goes far beyond them, so that even if the physical material blessings are absent, the child of God is still successful in the eyes of God. Spiritual success and victory here is in view, not the success in the world's estimation. Remember what Moses said to Joshua, or God said to Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 7, as Moses is gone and Joshua is taking the leadership, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful. Wherever you go, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There will be spiritual success, victory for the people of God. It's a blessing. The wisdom of God. Secondly, we see here that God will be a shield, the NIV says. He will, as a shield to those whose walk is blameless. Literally, God promises to guard and to watch over the lives of his people. That's what God promises to do, to guard you, to protect you. You know, and that protection is stated in some very emphatic language in the scripture, Psalm 91. No harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. And of course, again, we have to understand this biblically. No ultimate harm will ever befall you as a child of God. No spiritual or eternal disaster will overtake you. When we think of the blessing of God's protection over us, it doesn't mean we will never go through trouble or hardship. But it means that in that, God will be protecting our soul. And He will never let the people of God fully or finally fall away. We must have a spiritual and a long-term view of God's protection. But that's the protection we really want and really need. And thirdly, we see here that the blessing of that comes from God is God guarding the course of the just, protecting the way of His faithful ones. Here it's guarding with the sense of keeping or preserving. It's protection that lasts all our days, that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. These, Solomon says, are the blessings that God shows toward His people. Those who in Christ live lives that strive to be and are concerned to be upright and blameless and faithful. Secondly, in verses 9 through 11, we see here great blessings that will reside within us. The first blessing is the blessing of discernment. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. We need to have that wisdom of discernment because our lives are filled with choices every day. Should I do this or should I do that? Is this right? Is this wrong? We need that kind of wisdom of discernment, the ability to know right from wrong and good from evil. This is the blessing of moral maturity. It's what the writer of the Hebrews spoke of in Hebrews 5:13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. What a blessing it is to be able to have wisdom of discernment, to know what is right and just and fair, to be able to make those kinds of decisions. Secondly, we see the blessing in us not only of discernment, but also of delight. Look at verse 10. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. God will give the blessing of delighting in the wisdom that He brings. And we see that it's a delighting in the heart. You see what Solomon is saying. The true wisdom that he's speaking about and the true blessing is not just head knowledge, but heart delight. It will be a sweetness to your soul. As one writer said, the prayer here and the hope here is that the son would have a religious taste as well as a religious education. You know, you can be trained in all the truth of Scripture, and it may not be really in your heart. And you may never truly delight in it. This is the blessing that God gives in His people. That it's something that has gripped our hearts. And that we delight in it. That there's a sweetness to it. Charles Bridges, the commentator on Proverbs, said, "Clear knowledge in the head merely is deep ignorance." Needs to be in our hearts. Needs to be experiential truth and wisdom. So that we can say with the psalmist in 119:103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And the prophet Jeremiah, when he said, "When your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight." That's the blessing that Solomon wants for his son, that he knows will come when he embraces wisdom, when he trusts in Christ. And that's, parents, isn't that our prayer for our children? We want them to know the truths of Scripture, but we know that's not sufficient, is it? We pray for you, boys and girls, that the truth of God would be rooted in your heart, and that you would say, "Oh, that's just what my parents want me to believe," or, "Oh, that's just this or that." but that you would delight in this truth. Because when it's in your heart and when it is sweet and delightful to you, that's evidence that you're a child of God. That's evidence that God has granted you true wisdom, heart delight. In spite of outward bitter circumstances, the true child of God can know an inner delight in knowing God in Christ. The third blessing in us we see is discretion. Verse 11, discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. The Hebrew word here has the sense of good planning and purposes. That we will be blessed within us with the ability to make decisions as we plan and formulate the plans of our lives, always acknowledging God, committing our way to Him, and He will make our paths straight, keeping His word in mind as we think about our plans and purposes. But that will be a blessing that wisdom will bring, that you will have discretion, good planning as you look ahead the future in your life. So we see blessings from God that He enacts, blessings that are found within us. But the Father goes on to, and this is the longest part of this section, speak about the blessings that will come around us. Blessings that we will experience as we live in this world among those in this world. Verses 12 through 19. In particular, he's speaking about protection from dangerous liaisons, protection from relationships that will bring us harm. This is a great blessing of wisdom. And he speaks of two in particular. He said, you will be protected if you are wise through faith in Christ. You will be protected from wicked men. This reminds us of chapter 1. And those who are tempting the Son, potentially. Solomon speaks of crooked, dark men who delight not in God or in wisdom, but in folly and perversion and evil. And young people, boys and girls, let me say that in our culture and in our country, you will be surrounded by these kind of people more, seemingly more and more and more. Paul spoke about them in Romans chapter 1. Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Those will be people around you who will want you to do what they're doing and to join them in what they're doing. And who will approve of it when you join them. Wisdom will help you to watch out and to stay away. But he doesn't only mention wicked men. He particularly mentions, in verses 16 and following, immoral women. This doesn't mean that there aren't immoral men that daughters need to watch out for. That's true as well. But here we see in chapter 2, and we'll see it over and over and over again in these opening chapters of Proverbs, that there is a particular seduction that men will be tempted with from immoral women. Literally, the Hebrew says foreign women. That's not speaking geographically, it's speaking morally. They are strangers to the will and way of God. That's what makes them foreign women, strange women. This will be a repeated warning in the Word of God. And it's a severe warning. It's a stern warning. Her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. What a warning. Don't think you'll be able to get away with it. Can a man scoop fire into his lap and not be burned? Don't do it. Be on guard. Remember the story of a father who came to his pastor and was concerned about his young son. The man said to the pastor, "You know, my son came to me the other day and he's not sure he believes the gospel anymore. He's not sure he believes the Bible is the Word of God. He's not sure that he really believes and follows Christ anymore." And the wise, old, experienced pastor said to the father, "What's her name? What's her name?" This is a serious temptation that has ensnared young person after young person after young person, and old person after old person after old person. It was the temptation that was presented to Joseph in Egypt from Potiphar's wife. But he replied, "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to listen to her or even be with her. That's wisdom. And we see here, thirdly, the blessing instead of wicked men and immoral women, the blessing of good company. Then, verse 20, "You will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous." You will enjoy, if you are wise, the blessing of the saints. The blessing of people who, according to Hebrews, will spur you on to love and good deeds. Do you remember how much Christian was helped in Pilgrim's Progress? Helped to stay on the path in which he should walk when he was blessed to walk with faithful and with hopeful. What a blessing it is to be part of the people of God. Don't neglect the meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. It's a blessing of wisdom that we may be surrounded with those who walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. The father here, as he continues to urge his son to embrace wisdom, the last blessings that he mentions are the blessings that are in store for us. He has an eye to the future. Because, you know, sometimes in this life, we can be deceived. And those who don't follow God's way seem to prosper. And those who do seek to follow Christ seem to be oppressed and suffer all kinds of things. This is why Psalm 37 and Psalm 73 are written. "When I considered the wicked prosper. Here I have kept my hands clean for nothing. Have no disturbing thoughts." Psalm 37 about the wicked. Don't be envious of them. Why? Because of what's in store. And here he mentions in verse 21, "The upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it." This is the ultimate long-term view of the future hope that we have if we have the wisdom of God in Christ. It's the blessing and the hope of the new heavens and the new earth, the home of the righteous. The meek will inherit what? The earth, and will inherit it forever. There's something in store for the wicked, as much as they may mock God and shake their fist at God and do what they please. The wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. The wicked will not stand in the judgment. They will be blown away like chaff, Psalm 1. Psalm 92 says, though sinners grow like weeds, ill-doers blossom may, they're doomed to be destroyed. You, Lord, exalted stay. What a catalog of blessings that the Father is impressing on the mind and hopefully the heart of His Son. And in all these things, He's begging His Son, choose wisdom, choose life, be blessed, so that you would say with the psalmist, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits.